You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're going to do the post-game show a little bit differently later on in the show when we have Senator Ron Wyden on. We were going to have him on during the impeachment hearings, but he had to cancel because of the importance of the impeachment hearings. But he is doing a lot of work on trying to get athletes paid, so I want to ask him some of those questions, and we'll ask him some questions politically as well about the last 10 days in this country, which continue a reign of embarrassment in terms of you're watching the last 4 years play out in front of you, and then you watch those impeachment hearings and you're just mortified by the leadership of this country, just all of it, if not most of it, when you have just people so grossly and brazenly grabbing for power. But before we get to some Draymond Green sound that I want to play for you, Stugatz, I want to legitimately discuss for a second how we're supposed to respect and grieve what it is that Rush Limbaugh represents. Because I saw trying to, you know, grab on to any little corner of what's left of the remnants of this political discord that can profit, I can see ESPN being called because Mark Jones is liking some tweets that seem to sort of celebrate the death of Rush Limbaugh. And after the summer that we just went through and the last year that we just went through, and as you saw what it is that happened specifically at ESPN, Stugatz, where it was no politics, even though what we were really talking about was race. And then everything happened with George Floyd this summer, and all of a sudden you saw out of nowhere the corporate policy just vanished, and everyone was talking about whatever they wanted to for 6 months after all the focus groups showed that people don't want that with their sports. And then America realigns and the corporations realign and ESPN gets back to the business of sports and we're gone and Mike Greenberg's there. After all of that happened and we all witnessed it together, now Mark Jones is liking tweets about that are mean to Rush Limbaugh. And a lot of people were plenty mean to Rush Limbaugh, but Rush Limbaugh was plenty mean when it hurt because you were alive to watch it. He's not hearing what's happening here. There are a segment of people who loved this man, and to them, they can grieve him. But the rest of us, while not wishing ill or celebrating the death or the suffering of anybody, I'm allowed to not mourn that the world has been made a better place because the brand that he profited off of was despicable and led to everything we just witnessed in our country. A lit fuse helped, either lit by him, lit by his followers, a lit fuse that found its dynamite in a way that shook our country this year, has been growing for 20 years because he was able to speak in code to a group of people to become a leader of those people. And so this was publicly a pretty awful person espousing pretty awful things, but he got to some acclaim and fame by doing that. So how are we supposed to talk about him today? Because you should respect the dead. You should.
Well, I think,
generally speaking.
Well, I think he did it well. I mean, there are things that he said that made a lot of people, made their skins crawl, and there's things that he said that a lot of people agreed with.
Oh my God, Stu Gatz.
Yeah, it's bad. Mama. And there's Gold Bond in my nose, to be honest with you.
$5.
No, it's actually up in my nose, and it's burning. It's burning the hair. But, Dan, there are people who liked what he had to say, okay? There are people who liked what he had to say. But do you feel bad not grieving the death of Rush Limbaugh?
I'm asking you the right way to grieve, and I might not be asking the right person, because we've seen how you've grieved the death of your mother today in a way that just blamed her and you're grieving for your $5 fine because your phlegm sounds terrible.
Yeah. I don't know if you should respect the dead. I think we've been pretty well chronicled here over the last couple of weeks. How we handle death isn't exactly as good as other people handle it, but it's not like people withheld their opinions on Rush Limbaugh while he was here. So I think if there's ever a time to maybe not dunk on somebody, it's moments after they died, but he did a lot of horrible stuff. And he was held accountable while he was alive, too. It's not like he didn't get any blowback. He wanted to get into the NFL, wasn't allowed to. He got fired from his job that wasn't his Hall of Fame radio job because of his political beliefs. He was shut out of certain sectors of society because of those beliefs. He did pay for some of his takes. He also made hundreds of millions of dollars, became very wealthy for it. But everyone wanted to get out there as if there were this rush to condemn the man, no pun intended. There were plenty of people condemning him while he was here. There were plenty. I understand capitalizing and seizing on the moment and reminding people who he was, but I don't think people needed reminding about how awful Rush Limbaugh was when he was here.
Were you trying to find some good things to say about Rush Limbaugh? Because if you don't agree with his politics, if you don't agree with what it is he said or did, then there's no reason to grieve or say anything nice right after he passes away.
As I've told you many times before, it wasn't his politics I disagreed with, but these things have been impossible to untangle over the last 10 years and maybe ever, if you look at the histories of the parties and the histories of the fights in this country. It becomes a little hard to untangle all of that, Stu Gatz, because this was a person that came onto my radar because of what he was doing with race, not what he was doing with politics. But those two things have become synonyms now. They've become synonyms in a way that's sort of unavoidable and inescapable. But when I'm talking to you about the sports angle of it that we just experienced at ESPN, where the machine corrects, it gets back to correcting. When ESPN is asked about Mark Jones liking those tweets, what's ESPN supposed to say? You just don't answer that, right? You just sit that one out.
I think you don't ask Mark Jones. You just let Mark Jones do what Mark Jones did yesterday.
But what are the rules supposed to be by corporate policy when race and politics are mixed and you are a company that is about sports and you're trying to get out of the politics business, but your black employees are unhappy about some things and want to talk about them on air or want to do things like that bring ESPN to a fight ESPN doesn't want to have?
I feel ugly even calling attention to it. Like what you like on Twitter. Some people like tweets for different reasons, too. I never thought that was a punishable offense unless it's like so transparently egregious that you shouldn't like it. Some people use the like function to just store things away. That's how I use it. If I like a tweet, generally it's because I want to go back to it and save the tweet because it's something I want to talk about here. It's just Rush Limbaugh said plenty of things that many people can find offensive, Mark Jones among them. So if he's not going public to a microphone on an ESPN broadcast, I say have at it.
Do you think about liking a tweet before you actually hit that button? Like, I just liked a tweet that there are only 6 quarterbacks, 5 quarterbacks since 2018 with a .650 winning percentage and a 65% completion percentage. And one of them is Mitchell Trubisky. Now, I didn't think about it. I just liked it because I thought it's something we could use on the show. Do you think about these things?
Why would you think that was something we could use on the show?
Well, because I just did. I mean, that's why.
Well, I didn't think that was the place for it exactly. I didn't think that that was exactly the place to put a Trubisky stat.
Mahomes, Wilson, Breeze, Roethlisberger, and Mitch Trubisky. I like that stat. I didn't think about it. I think you're thinking too much. And you know what? Now Mark Jones is going to start thinking too much. How about we just like what we like?
Okay, I mean, but this was amazing what you ended up doing there because I feel like this is just this wrapped in Trubisky. Just didn't want to talk about what we were talking about?
Well, yeah, and I find it pretty amazing that, I mean, the quarterback since 2018 with a .650 win percentage and a 65% completion percentage, Mahomes, Wilson, Breeze, Big Ben, and Mitch. I mean, come on, Dano.
What is the prettiest thing in football? Is it the Russell Wilson moon ball?
Ooh.
Is there a prettier thing in football? If you want to just distract me, yes, I know. You wanted to get me.
Mahomes interceptions are great.
Ah, yes.
Really?
Incompletions, I should say.
Yeah.
You're still on this, huh?
It's in the top 100 plays of the year for the NFL.
I saw that. The incompletion was number 100. Billy, the incompletion, number 100 top plays.
Why so low?
I couldn't believe that the incompletion made it into the top 100 plays at number 100. Was it indeed, Stugatz, number 100 plays of the year, or was it 100 plays ever? Because I thought that we hyperventilated a little bit with the Mahomes throw that ended up being an incompletion.
It was 100 plays of the year. I haven't checked all time, but maybe it's in there. I mean, who knows? But how about that about Mitch? I mean...
I was amazed to learn that there were people waiting to show their disdain over Rush Limbaugh until the day that he died. That was kind of a weird one. We had plenty of opportunities. Maybe it was when he was getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom that you could have gotten those takes out there.
Stugatz, can you look up for me, please, the words that got Rush Limbaugh fired from ESPN? Because I marveled at that entire time.
Do I have to?
Check. Like Rex Chapman's Twitter account.
Well, the reason I ask you to do it is because after that summer, after that year, after we leave ESPN, at least in part, you know, bumping up against the no politics in sports thing when we've never been a political show. We were just a show that in which I like to talk a lot about race. I want to go back and look at the time. Roy, what do you remember about the time of Rush Limbaugh at ESPN? He was on Countdown, man. He was part of our No Politics in Sports.
He would have a challenge flag.
He was part of our pregame show. He was on there he was hobnobbing with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. Like, what do you remember about that time, Roy?
I remember, what the hell are they doing hiring Rush Limbaugh? What does he know about football? And then Donovan McNabb.
Okay, and so what did he say specifically? Did he just say that Donovan McNabb is overhyped because he's a black quarterback? Isn't that the comment that got Rush Limbaugh fired, or was it more code? Was it more dog whistle than that?
Well, it was that, and I believe he had a drug addiction while he was there with, what was it, oxycodone?
Well, he had oxycodone problems, but I thought that was afterward. I thought that that was not, that didn't have anything to do with his firing.
If you want to know the gist of it, he was like, the media has this obsession with the black quarterback and they want him to succeed so much. And he was holding up Donovan McNabb as an example that he was overrated. And there were plenty of football counterpoints at the time as to why he wasn't, because he was leading the Eagles to plenty of on-field success. But he raised up the question in his Rush's challenge, where he threw an actual challenge flag onto the set, that Donovan McNabb was just part of the sensation where the media was hyping up a quarterback specifically because he was black.
Yeah, he said the defense carried that team.
All right, so that was the kind...
Wow.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm saying, though. Like, that's the one that got him gone. Like, that, the one that Stugatz could have made an argument for and just left out the black. Like, that. So, wait, that's what was too hot for ESPN?
There was a big reaction to that at the time.
But I'm just saying, like, things really sped up there. Like, they really sped up. If you look at what the last summer was at ESPN.
I think it's still shocking to this day. I think like, the shock value in it still holds up. That, no, Donovan McNabb is considered good primarily because he's black.
You hired Rush Limbaugh because he was Rush Limbaugh, and then he's on your air being Rush Limbaugh, and you fire him for being Rush Limbaugh. That's what happened.
Right.
How long did that take? 8 weeks?
It was into the season, yeah. It was into the season.
It was about halfway through the season.
The problem was that they hired Rush Limbaugh. They wanted Rush Limbaugh takes, and his politics would always bleed into the takes. I also disagreed with his politics. I know you said that you didn't disagree with his politics. I'd like to go out on record that I disagreed with his politics.
No, I just don't know what his politics is. I don't know.
I mean, like, he basically wrote the conservative platform.
What I'm telling you is that my only prism to Rush Limbaugh, because I wasn't paying attention to the politics of it, the only part of it I was paying attention to was this person is doing things that are coded, speaking a language that is racist in code. He's disguising it. That was my only opinion or intake of Rush Limbaugh.
I agree with him. I mean, the defense kind of did carry that team.
You want to walk back, agree with him.
On the defense.
Yeah.
Just on the defense. Yeah. He just Dawkins. Agrees with the defense.
Hugh Douglas.
Seth Joyner.
Oh, wow.
Seth Joyner.
Is that the same team?
I don't know.
No, or am I mixing up timelines?
Is it Clyde Simmons? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm Cunningham.
It's Cunningham, not, what are we doing now?
Who is Cunningham?
Randall? Seth Joyner was not a part of that Andy Reid defense.
He was not?
Okay. No.
I'm sorry. So that's my fault.
So it was Clyde Simmons.
Hugh Douglas and Dawkins.
Okay.
That's all you've got?
Doc.
And them boys?
They had a good corner. What was that corner's name?
It was a Super Bowl defense, was it not?
I think this was when they were failing in the NFC Championship before they actually got to the Super Bowl, if I recall my Rush Limbaugh timeline.
Stugatz, can we play for the audience here some Draymond Green sound? I don't know whether or not you have heard this sound. Draymond Green and Charles Barkley continue to go back and forth. Draymond Green.
Lito Shepard.
Lito.
There you go.
Lito.
Yes.
Lockdown corner. Yep, mm-hmm. Lito. Yep.
Glad
that's what the
Yellow
Lito stands for, Dan. Lockdown.
Who else is on that defense?
Do you have anyone
else? Do you have anyone else, though? The Shepherd one is going to stay with you?
The Lito Shepherd one was going to stay with me, but I'm glad we got it out.
But so you can name three members of the defense that we're talking about that carried Donovan McNabb to a Super Bowl. He was overrated because the media wanted a black quarterback.
It's close to a third of their defense, Dan.
Yeah.
It's a quarter. Yeah.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Let's play this Draymond Green sound for Stugatz and get his take off of this.
I would like to talk about something that's really bothering me. And it's the treatment of players in this league. To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him. Because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it. I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer and he's not good in someone's locker room and he's the issue. And we've seen situations of Harrison Barnes getting pulled off the bench. You know, DeMarcus Cousins finding out that he's traded in an interview after the All-Star game. And we continue to let this happen. But I got fined for stating my opinion of what I thought should happen with another player. But teams can come out and continue to say, oh, we're trading guys, we're not playing you. And yet we're to stay professional. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. You know, we talk all of this stuff about you can't do this, you can't say that publicly. If you say that publicly, you're fine. Anthony Davis got fined, I think, $100,000 or something like that for demanding a trade publicly. But you can say Andre Drummond's getting traded publicly and we're looking to trade him publicly and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win, do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can. It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow or Wednesday.
So he's speaking in too many absolutes there. He is speaking in hyperbole. No one says anything about X, Y, and Z.
But the premise, it's hard to disagree with what he's actually trying to say there, is it not?
I think it's very hard to argue the other side of what his general message is, though it is too absolute. And if you're going to attack it, the way to attack it is the way that Charles Barkley did, which is to say, hey, that sounds a lot better when you're at the top of the standings, Draymond, and scoring 32 points in game seven, and then it does. You become annoying when you're giving us those lectures from the bottom of the standings, but that's not a good way to attack that. That's not attacking the meat of the argument. That's what Charles and Shaq do a lot of these days, which is, well, you're not as good as I was.
It's my way.
And it is, it's not untrue what they're saying, because Draymond Green is not nearly the player that Charles was. When Charles dismisses him as a boy band member who wasn't one of the stars of the boy band, he generally tends to attack his credentials in that regard. But it's pretty hard to argue with what he's saying there if you take out the absolute of it, because there are plenty of people that are noticing that double standard today. And I don't even know what would be the devil's advocate argument on the other side of that, now that we have seen how one way these contracts are and how systemic, really, Stugatz, because the media and the character assassination from fans tends to break down along money lines and culture lines. And we smear the black jerk when he is doing stuff like requesting power. Right. The guy who like some of this has some, it's got the sprinkles of race stuff all over it. And it becomes some of the code that we're talking about when it comes to Rush Limbaugh, because Rush Limbaugh did say at the start of all of this, one of the quotes that he said, there I said it, was sometimes he's watching football and it looks like he's watching a fight between the Crips and the Bloods. And he was pretty proud of that instigation. He lasted 4 weeks. With ESPN. But what the commentary of the last 20 years in sports has been tinged with some of that objects to the black guy getting more and more power and then misbehaving when he has the power, not being professional when he has the power, breaching his contract. It becomes easier to side with management than labor in those circumstances. And very often your customer base is largely white and your employee base is largely black. And when the black athlete doesn't behave himself or doesn't comport himself according to the contract, we have more trouble siding with the rebellious employee, even though most of us are labor, than we do with the rich fat cat who's money seems more quote unquote earned, even though what you see happening right now with the economy would suggest to you there are a whole lot of people playing with money that isn't quite earned. Athletes have to earn it with the physical parts of their body and mind in the way that Draymond articulates and someone else articulated yesterday on Twitter, Greg Camarillo, if you didn't see what he had to say.
But you asked what the argument would be on the other side of that. I'm assuming it would be, hey, the owner owns the team. The owner could do things that no one else on the team could do. I mean, I'm assuming that would be the argument. Hey, you can't do it. You work for that guy. That guy pays you a lot of money. He could do whatever he wants. I mean, that would be the argument, right? It's wrong, but that would be the argument.
Greg Camarillo said something?
The wide receiver?
That is correct.
Did this go viral? Because why else would I see something he said?
Well, this is why I want to play or why I want to read this to you and Chris Cody and Stu Gatz, because Draymond Green was talking about mental health there. And people yesterday, for some reason, were moved by what Greg Camarillo did on Twitter, which was the following. This is a segment I like to call reading. Reading from Greg Camarillo's Twitter account.
You want me to dress it up somehow?
Can you please?
Yeah, I need some help. Some 1920s music.
I need some help, yes. I need some help so that this show and this this Twitch and everything we're doing around here has the kind of comedic and entertainment flair that the people who don't have to pay for it have grown accustomed to, so that this show has the production value of something that is at the very top of the sports entertainment ladder.
I found something called Muggsy Baloney, so let's see if this fits.
Yes, that is reading music, my man.
Well, it's a little happy for the subject matter I'm going to read.
You want me to find another 20 song?
Well, no, I think it'll be funnier if
this
I...
This is Muggsy Baloney.
No, let's go ahead and play. Let's keep Muggsy Baloney playing just so that you could feel the full awkwardness of this kind
of... another song called Screwy Lewis.
Don't
you
keep
think
it here. Hold on. Let's see. Let me see.
GBGB?
Hold on. Give me... Yes.
All these guys sound like 19-teens baseball players that are in the Hall of Fame. Screwy Lewis and Muggsy Baloney.
I want to hear them.
I got the Charleston Heston.
No, please play all of these one at a time, and then I will select one. But the subject matter is a little darker than this ragtimey happy music would suggest. But let me hear a second.
Ooh, I've got something called the Fancy Dan.
Play them one after another. Let me hear what we've got here.
All right, this is the Fancy Dan.
Okay, none of these are the tone that I need for this segment. We should have talked about this before we went live.
Yeah, well, I didn't anticipate Greg Camarillo. So, you know, let's go with Screwy Lewis. I think that's the right tone.
All right, let's...
Yeah.
All right, this is why it proves that you've got this all wrong, but I'm happy that it's here so that people can have the incongruous experience of dark subject matter played happily with a banjo and some horns.
Screwy Lewis.
You snap your fingers to this, right?
Well, go ahead and snap your fingers while I read a dark thread from Greg Camarillo. Football players struggle when our careers are over. It's hard. We've been football players for years. It's what we do, what we know, and a big part of who we are, and then it's gone. A big part of our identity lost.
So far, Screwy Lewis is fine.
Yep.
Football is the ultimate team sport. We are taught to bury our problems and pains for the benefit of the team. In a game that works, in life that's dangerous. The mentality of suck it up or fight through it doesn't work in real life.
Still fine.
We often reach a pinnacle at a young age. Our childhood dreams have come to fruition. Then at around 30, we start over. How will we ever achieve something this great again? How will I ever feel the same excitement or pride again? That's hard to deal with.
We've added a top hat to you on the Twitch. Good job, Jay.
Our conversations with friends and family are always about football. People love talking about the game, so do we. And then suddenly, it's what are you doing now? What's next? A strictly regimented life is now wide open. The adjustment is hard. Physical pain can take a toll. Memory problems. Aching knees, restless nights. It all adds up. You never know what someone is dealing with, the battles they are fighting. We all go through it. It's okay to need help. We all need help at some point. Call your friends, call your family, check in, send love, show support. Life is short.
Almost nailed it.
Yes, Greg Camarillo. And I think of only one thing when I think of Greg Camarillo, which is ending the winless season of the Miami Dolphins, making them a proud 1-15 team as he streaked to the end zone because Brian Billick was a fool who didn't do the right things in that game and never worked again.
That's a top 10 touchdown in Dolphin history, is it not?
I now think of two things, that and Screwy Lewis.
How much more do you have back there from that file? Is that just what? Is that the music? Because we don't have music licensing now.
Right, those are royalty-free songs. So I've played the Muggsy Bologna, Fancy Dan, and Screwy Lewis.
What else do you have back there?
I've got the Martini Mole.
Okay, do I need to? I need to start negotiating with someone for music licensing rights, don't I? Yes, I gotta do this. I can't do this. Wait a minute, this is sensual in nature.
This is good.
No, what do you mean this is good? Okay, you know what this means. Show us how good, Chris. Show the people on the Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
Show the people. Yes, no, you yeah, invited this.
You wanted to dab during racial discussion.
You invited this. Let's see what you've got to this music. We're going to just watch you dance now.
I'm not touching myself. What am I doing for you people? Like, this is my daughter's
looking at me. How about your job? Do your job.
So touch myself?
I didn't say touch yourself. I said to dance sensually to this music. I did not say to touch yourself.
I need to talk to Skip.
There's a sexual harassment issue because we don't have a human resources department.
This one's called Hot Tomato. Nice. Oh, wait a second. That's the set of the day music. Back to the shadows.
I have something, Stugatz. I don't want to spoil alert something, but I don't know how to talk about a documentary that I enjoyed on HBO Max, The Lady in the Dale, which is just a story of a transgender woman's struggle trying to make it into the automotive industry as what looked like a fraud in her field while competing against the big American motor companies. But she was a bombastic fraud who had been, as a man early in her life, somebody who was always on the run. And then the documentary in four parts, and this is one of the great things about what's happening in content making now, no matter how much Martin Scorsese wants to yell about it, is that there are these places where you can just get these wonderfully rich stories told in four parts that captivate you because they just take you back to another time and maybe humanize something that you weren't thinking about at that time. But this is the part of the story. And if you have not watched yet the documentary, I would suggest there is a bit of a spoiler alert here that I'm going to be giving you that's in the fourth episode. And you should ignore me from now on because I don't think the people on this Zoom who haven't seen it will know what I am talking about here. But what you see during the course of this story as it's told is that there is one dogged reporter who is sort of intent on outing this man slash woman as a fraud with all of his judgments about how weird she is because she can't come to grips with the fact that she is a man in his eyes and not a woman in his eyes. And the woman doesn't get to decide that in this instance. He does, as the reporter, how disgusting that is, and sort of smokes out the fraud of this woman. And what you see happen in the fourth episode that you did not realize happened before that is, oh, bleep, that's Tucker Carlson's father. That's Tucker Carlson's father. As we talk about sort of what is happening with Rush Limbaugh here and the death of the media and what we're seeing with who is popular now in a certain segment of America with a certain set of alternate facts, you see the same sort of division. You see exactly where it is that it came from. You're watching this all of a sudden without knowing that over the course of 3.5 episodes where someone is being actively belligerent to the other. Somebody and filing it under work, nobility, American principles. And then you see what that ends up birthing now in a, I mean, did anyone in the media benefit more from the last 4 years of division than that guy who just basically took the Bill O'Reilly audience as Bill O'Reilly went down in shame. Did anyone in the media benefit more than that guy from sowing the last 4 years of division in this country?
I'm just supplementing, Dan. Go ahead.
This would have been better, though. This would have been, this is a slightly less happy than what I was reading about Greg Camarillo.
This is Bug-Eyed Betty.
So our only musical...
That's not the whimsical.
Oh,
so.
Sorry.
Yeah. Stugatz just picked up the Pringles can out of habit, thinking it's... Wait a minute. You just shouted that's not the whimsical thing is what you just shouted at Stugatz?
Whimsical guys, vessel. Yeah.
We all have top hats now on Twitch. It's delightful.
Chris, do you just want to answer some of the questions from the Twitch now? A new segment, Live and Dangerous. Chris Cody... please, without touching yourself. I was not suggesting you touch yourself.
Are we done with that topic? Or?
Oh, God.
Do you want to continue on that topic?
No. Did you get everything out that you needed to get out there? I mean,
What? Since when do we care? Mike continues to try and get me off of all of these subjects with ridiculous sounds and music, but he doesn't have the same corporate strength behind him that he had.
That's the Pringle can one.
No, it's a whimsical vessel.
Put this one back.
Are you going to try and keep this? Try and keep getting this off the ground?
Oh, it's a major hit. Major
Everyone
hit
loves it. Seriously. Yeah, yeah. They do. What do we got here?
We're trying the other hand now.
Yeah, the right one hurts.
That one's legitimately stuck.
The left one.
The can is all dented and stuff.
The left one is a bit fatter, I have to be honest with you.
Your left hand, put it on the pole, Guillermo. Are you surprised that Stugatz is...
Oh, man. It won't budge.
Are you surprised that Stugatz's left hand is fatter than his right hand?
Hold up. Oh, man. There's a problem here. Oh,
are you going to go through everything in the whimsical can of shit?
No.
That's not the name.
That's not the name of it. No. It should be the name of it.
The better name.
The whimsical can of shit. Here it is.
Vocable.
Home ownership.
Wow. Does anyone have anything on this?
Home ownership. We've got Mike Ryan has recently purchased a home.
I've seen Roy be fired up about this over social media.
Yeah, I was trying to fix my toilet because, you know, the drain was like broken or whatever, and it was just bad. Like the water started pouring out of the valve.
Wish I had that
the
on video.
Toilet seat broke. Like everything went wrong on me trying to fix this toilet. It was ridiculous. So I had to hire a plumber, which is what I did not want to do. I spent $190 on that. And then I had to buy a new toilet seat, which was somewhat easy to install for some reason. I don't know how I got through that. But it just wasn't great. And then the roof had a leak in the roof because some rain came in.
Oh, man.
Roy complains about things around his house breaking.
The door of my old oven fell off. The door fell off. My old oven. I had to get a new oven.
Sounds like a money pit.
My refrigerator is knocking. It's bad. Like, I should have rented.
Yeah. No.
No?
What do you mean no?
Why, Chris?
You can't rent, Roy. It's a waste of money. Throwing money down a drain.
Yeah, but I would have a handyman. I could just call the landlord. Hey, fix this.
Lord.
I found this. I'm trying to diversify my portfolio. So I found this app called Fundrise. Have you heard of this? Fundrise is like you give them a certain number of thousands of dollars and they give you in very small increments like an update. You basically throw out this blank investment over several construction projects and they're all like hotels and townhomes. And I'm immediately frustrated by it because my money's tied up for 4 years and I've since made 74 cents. I've made 74 cents, but they're telling me, like, they give me occasional updates. Like, hey, we fixed the plumbing in this, like, in this one apartment. I'm like, cool. I made 74 cents off of that. And now I'm not going to be able to see this money without penalty for 4 years.
I'm about to close a deal with that client.
Fundrise?
Oh, my God.
I love them.
I started this company called Billy Funds, Mike, if you want to invest. There's no guarantee that you'll ever get your money back. But if you want to diversify, just send me like $10,000 and I'll give you occasional updates on how that's doing.
I wonder if I can show up to these places. Like, I have a project in Las Vegas. If I can just open the door and say, hey, now I'm an investor here. Like, just let me in. I'm an investor.
I own this place.
Yeah.
You're trying to become this Gabe Plotkin who's knocking down a 1935s home to build a tennis court here. You're trying. This is your new life is going to be going after the hedge fund guys like Gabe Plotkin to beat them at their own game.
Not if I don't continue to hemorrhage money on AMC.
Oh. Have you guys seen this thing called NBA Top Shot? That's a new thing that they're doing now.
Can I make money off of it?
Yes, theoretically. So it's like trading cards, except you're buying a video clip. It's highlights that they're selling, but you don't own the video. You don't own the highlights. So like you can go in and like you open this pack of digital videos and it's like, oh my God, I just got a Blake Griffin dunk. And then you could sell that, but you don't actually own the highlights.
So you're renting.
You're not even renting. You just get a percentage of this thing. It's the... Look this up, because I was reading this yesterday. I can't believe that this is where we're at. That people are paying money to say that they own a highlight that they don't own.
So you're saying this is the new 2021 trading card. This is how we're doing it. You're saying that this is all the rage with the kids of tomorrow, where their trading cards are going to be highlights they don't own?
Yeah, I think a Zion block already resold for $100,000 for a highlight that that person does not own.
$100,000?
American dollars, Dan.
That can't. Wow. What are you talking about? I don't understand this business.
I got to get in this game.
Well, but I don't even understand this game. What is this game?
Guys, big news. I've made 9 cents since my last login on Fundrise.
Hey, congratulations.
Good.
Rocket ship to the moon.
Roy, I want you to paint the picture a little more about you sitting next to your toilet saying, you know what? I'm going to show the world I can fix a toilet. I'm somebody who doesn't have any experience fixing a toilet, but I'm going to be a toilet fixer. I'm not going to call a plumber because those are famous last words right there, Roy. Everyone has said those words. I'm not going to call a plumber. And next thing you know, some stranger with ass crack is bending over your toilet and charging you $100 an hour to fix things.
But a job is relatively easy. I mean, I was just replacing a flush valve. I mean, I've done it before, but it just went wrong. The actual water that comes in through the wall, because this house is old, this house is older than you and Stugatz combined, just exploded on me. It's just like water everywhere. So it just went wrong. And then the whole toilet seat situation, it was bad.
Roy, did you get an inspection done before you purchased the house? I mean...
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you get a good one done?
Right, I mean...
Apparently not. Right. Apparently I did not. Yeah. Apparently I was lied to.
Man, now imagine my stress level as I have 26 active real estate projects going on. You're talking to a real estate mogul. I'm an entrepreneur. 26 active projects and I've made 73 cents since I started investing.
What happened to the toilet seat, Roy? So did you get water on your face or anything? Was there the comedic effect of a pipe bursting in your face?
Yes, right in my face, all over my shirt. It was bad. It was clean water, mind you. It wasn't toilet water. It was clean, straight out of the wall. But it wasn't great.
And did you not know to turn off the water before starting that kind of project?
Oh, yeah. The water was off. The drain was closed, but water still came out.
Doesn't hold water to me, Dan.
The whole story doesn't hold water.
This is a good segment.
God.
I thought we were just chatting.
Are we still on?
Postgame, next.
What?
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.